We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning.
Robert Flanders, I'd like to start with a couple of questions about President Trump. He's been in office a little more than a year now. Would you say his presidency has been more of a success or a failure?
I think there's been some of both. I like his goals. I think that's why many people voted for him. They support the goals that he's seeking, his style, his persistent tweeting, I think, has been troublesome. The baiting of the North Korean dictator, I don't think, has been helpful. There's been turmoil to some extent within his cabinet. I think that it's an adventure with him, and it's hard to predict how this is all going to end up. He's subject to this investigation that may or may not be dispositive in terms of where his presidency goes. So I think we're all hoping and watching that he'll be successful. No matter where your political interests lie, I think we all want our president to do the best job he possibly can. But again, there are things that are troublesome, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Some Republicans point to how President Trump has nominated a series of conservative judges. The Dow is at a record high. He's undoing Obama-era regulation. But on the other hand, many people feel that he's demeaned the presidency. He's viewed as a champion by white supremacists. He is somewhat vulgar at times. Are these trade-offs worth it, in your perspective, to advance a Republican or conservative agenda?
It's certainly worth it to have a quality Supreme Court, and I think I'm strongly supportive of appointing people to the court of the caliber of Neil Gorsuch. I was surprised to see that Sheldon Whitehouse and others did not support him because he clearly is a qualified justice, and so I think that's a very important aspect of being the president. But look, everybody who participated in the last presidential election knew that President Trump was a very different type of candidate who had issues that we haven't had to see in broad daylight before. So I think it's still going to be a situation where we're going to have to wait and see how it all turns out. His presidency is still very young. His goals, I think, are commendable. Finding a better solution on immigration, tax relief, if we ever get to it, infrastructure. We need a health care plan for sure. So these are all worthy goals, and I'm hoping that we can just move to a more bipartisanship and not just have the Republicans, for example, dictate what the end result's going
to
be.
Let's go to Scott.
Moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem, good idea, bad idea?
Well, I think that's a good idea, you can question whether his timing was right. We don't want to see violence break out over there, but this has been a situation that developed, particularly after President Obama refused to veto that Security Council resolution that made any occupation of Jerusalem a flagrant violation of international law. That was quite a provocation. I think historically there should be something worked out there where West Jerusalem, which has traditionally been in Israel's control, is a site where they can have their capital. And if you're going to have a two-state solution, then perhaps East Jerusalem is the right place for the Palestinian capital. Let's just hope that that this will be helpful to try and work something out. Sometimes you have to break some eggs to get an omelet, and that has been President Trump's style all along.
Do you support privatizing Medicare and Social Security?
I don't support that at all. I think that those are programs that that have worked, and I would be in favor of keeping them just the way they are.
What changes would you recommend to strengthen the financial basis for those kinds of safety net programs?
Well, I think some things have to be considered, perhaps tweaking the age at which people can. We're all living longer, so one might look at raising the age a little bit as to Social Security. But these are programs that have worked. People have relied on them. And I would be a strong supporter of keeping them as close to where they are as possible without breaking the bank.
You know, immigration's been a real fraught issue in Washington now for quite a while. And I'm wondering, with the deadline coming up on DACA and these Dreamers, what's your policy? What would you do to protect these folks or not?
Yep. I think we need to find some accommodation for these Dreamers that would allow them to stay and continue to be productive and pay taxes and keep and have jobs as long as they're not violating the law other than being here. I think, you know, that's been a program that has seemingly worked. But we need to find, I wouldn't go as far as citizenship. I think as long as we have a residency program that allows them to stay here, I wouldn't go so far as amnesty or anything like that. But we need to take away the incentive for parents to bring their children here on the theory that even if we get deported, at least we've made a future for our children. It's the moral hazard of having these folks come across the border and giving them an incentive to do that. We've got to end that.
We're talking here with Republican U.S. Senate candidate Robert Flanders. And Bob, when you announced your campaign, one of your messages was that you were portraying yourself as more in touch with the common man than Sheldon Whitehouse. Although you're a prosperous lawyer, you enjoy well-tailored suits like you're wearing right now. But let me ask you this. You face a Republican primary with State Rep. Robert Nardalillo. Isn't he more in touch with the common people of Rhode Island more so than either you or Sheldon Whitehouse?
Well, I don't want to say that. I think that both of us have backgrounds that one could point to, but he's been handed a four generation business that he could walk into. I didn't have that luxury. I grew up in a very modest home, oldest of seven children. Had to work all through college and law school and high school at manual labor jobs. So I've been able to, I think, identify. My parents lived paycheck to paycheck. Neither one was a college graduate. So they instilled in me the idea of hard work and education as the ticket to getting ahead in life. And that's been my mantra and philosophy. And I think Rhode Islanders can identify with that.
But Rhode Islanders have never had a problem with folks from well-born backgrounds in the U.S. Senate. Claiborne Pell, nobody more elitist than Claiborne Pell, but he never lost an election. John Chafee, another person from an old Yankee family who's Ivy League educated, and he represented Rhode Island very capably for many years. Are you just class baiting here?
No, I don't think so. I'm not saying that anybody who comes as like Mr. Whitehouse from privilege and wealth can't do a good job, but that is a problem they have to overcome in the sense of relating to the average person here. And I don't think Senator Whitehouse has been able to do that, particularly in his partisan track record of simply spouting the party line and being the Democratic attack dog whenever anybody like Neil Gorsuch or any Republican nominee gets up there. He's the guy that leads the charge.
Speaking of Senator Whitehouse, he's been very critical of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United, which unleashed a new torrent of spending in politics. Do you think the Supreme Court made the right decision in that case?
I do, because that's a free speech decision. And the idea of having the government tell us who can make independent expenditures on behalf of a candidate or against a candidate, that goes at core political free speech.
But shouldn't those donations be disclosed?
Yes, I agree with that part of it. And that's within Congress's purview. The Supreme Court did not say that Congress couldn't require disclosures. So to the extent that didn't happen, particularly under Obama's watch when they controlled Congress for some years,
I mean, 2 years.
Well, but still, they didn't do anything on it. So for him to criticize that, he bears part of the blame for not getting that done, if indeed that would be helpful.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Robert Flanders.
Thank you for having me.